Hello, this is Autumn Miles, Autumn Miles Show. How you doing out there? I hope you're doing good. I sure do love you. We all love you here at the Autumn Miles staff. We're going to do part two of Gideon today. We talked yesterday just in depth about sort of the back. I think it's super important to know the backstory behind these mighty men of God. You know, why did they have the calling that they had? And we talked about that a little bit yesterday. I want to invite you to our Blush Network Society group. I've talked about this a lot and I'm going to keep talking about it. We have a society this week that is happening at the Laughing Willow. It's in Bishop Arts downtown. Oh my goodness. There is some power in those 2 hours that we come together. It is a small group. So actually we, it's very limited seating. And you know, once it gets filled up, we're kind of done. We're filled up. But I want you guys to come out. You can email Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E at autumnmiles.com. If you are interested in coming to our society group this month, it's been super powerful. We've already seen so many miracles taking place in the Dallas branch of the groups, but they're also all over the country. If you'd like to lead a society group, we are opening our registration for leaders. If you want to lead a society group in your area, maybe you have a call to be a leader and you don't have a place to lead. You know, this would be a good opportunity for you. It's not super intimidating. You invite your buddies around and go through a message that I provide and do a little worship, a little loving on Jesus and sort of talk through the issues that you're facing today. I would love for you to consider leading. We're going to kick that off actually in the fall. It'll be in September when we open up our new society branches wherever God plans them. But again, you can email Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E at autumnmiles.com if you're interested in leading one. If you're a leader but don't have a flock, this might be for you. welcome back. Part two of Gideon. I'm obsessed with Gideon because I find myself in him a lot. Just recapping yesterday, there was a coalition that was formed according to Judges 6 against the nation of Israel. Why? Because Israel was worshiping idols and God was like over it. Okay. You know what I mean? They're like, God, no, you're supposed to worship me, not idols. And yet Israel, who had the favor of God, chose idols over God. And I made the point, you know, much like we do today, we sort of worship stuff that we think is going to bring us what only God can bring us. Do you have the stuff or does the stuff have you? You know, which is it? You know, I talked about girls and their bags. You know, guys, you really don't care about a bag, but you got your own stuff. I don't know, golf clubs, the cars, Jordans, loafers. I don't know what kind of guy you are, but you have your stuff. And sometimes we start worshiping that. And how much of it can we get? You know, you want a kid. Are you worshiping the kid? Are you worshiping the God that can give you that? Well, Israel was definitely worshiping gods, Baal and Asherah specifically. And this coalition was formed against them, and the Lord let them be defeated by them multiple times. And what would happen is Israel would go in and they would plant for food that they needed to sustain themselves. And what would happen is when they planted, the Midianites and the Amalekites would come, this coalition would come against them, and they would literally ruin the seeds that they had sown. And so it freaked out Israel so much that they ran and started hiding in dens, in caves, in the mountain against these people that they could have overwhelmingly conquered had they had called out to the name of the Lord. But rather than calling out to his name, they called out to the God's name. And guess who didn't answer? Baal, Asherah. You find yourself in a place today where you're overcome by your circumstances and you are fed up. It says here in Judges 6:6, it says, so Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Thank God they did that. Are you in a place that you're very low today? You feel like you're planting, you're trying to get a job, you're trying to do this, and then all of a sudden, you know, your car breaks down, and whatever financially you've gotten ahead, all of a sudden you're behind. Is someone coming and stealing your seed? We talked about in Matthew, the parable of the sower, how you plant these seeds and they're on rocky soil and they're not in fertile ground and it's choked up. These seeds are choked up by circumstances of life. The seed that sustains is the seed that is sown in the fertile soil of the Lord. I just think that is so interesting today. So they were brought very low, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Verse 7. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all of your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you into their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. So they're crying out to the Lord and they're saying, God, 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 help me, help me. We're literally overcome. We're brought very low. We're to the point that we actually need you and we're surrendering. And God reminds them, shed the idols in your life. Listen, I am the one, not Baal, not Asherah. They don't have any power. I am the one who has power. Remember me, but you have not obeyed. Are we at a place today that we might need to repent? It's not the stuff that brings, it's not the idol that you may be worshiping that brings happiness, which is why you're very low right now. It is God Almighty Himself. Moving on. The anger of the Lord came and set under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizurite, as his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. Now, let me stop right there. I absolutely want to just harp on my story a little bit. Here I am. I'm young. I'm 8 years old. I have this huge dream. I want to be the CEO of my own company one day, but I left yesterday saying, don't let your circumstances dictate your action. Let God dictate your action. And that we get that confused in our culture. We think, oh, we can't. So we let our circumstances dictate our lives rather than the Lord. And we find ourselves living unsuccessful lives or being unsuccessful in our situations. I did what seemed right to me. I had all these great dreams for myself. I believe God deposited, he sowed them, if you will, in my spirit at a very young age. But I let my circumstances dictate my future. And I ended up marrying a guy at a very young age who didn't even like me. It turned out to be an abusive marriage. He didn't even like me. But I thought, I can't get any better. I can't do any more. So I let my circumstances dictate where I was rather than seeking the God of my circumstances. And I found myself being brought very low. And I remember in an abusive marriage, when, you know, my dad was a preacher, so I couldn't tell my preacher daddy because what would he think? At least that's what I thought. He was actually very supportive when I told him. What would all of our friends think? So I was emotionally brought very low. And I cried out to the Lord, just like the Israelites did. I cried out to the Lord and he literally set me free, set my feet upon a rock. That's exactly what he will do to you today. If you are brought very low, he'll set your feet upon a rock and he will deliver you. And the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree that was at Ophrah, and which brings us to where we are, what I just read, which belonged to Joash. And his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. I love that Gideon is standing here and he's beating out the wheat. Not a lot of people say that he was fearful, which I'm sure that he was probably fearful. But, you know, he, as in my study, you know, he had kids. So he had to figure out a way. And I believe that this is why the Lord actually showed up to him. Gideon was in this wine press and maybe he was fearful. I don't know, whatever. He could have been, he could have not. But the way I see it is that he had figured out a way to beat the Midianites at their own game. He had gone and he had gathered the wheat and he was in this wine press where no one could see him. And, you know, as you know, this is kind of how I see the story from the narrative. I see him standing there with whatever tool that he was using to beat out that wheat, just ticked, beating it out. And I imagine him, you know, in his mind saying, you know, things like, you know, where is God? Where, you know, why do I have to do this? I see him as sort of a guy with a bunch of vigor, with lots of potential. He has figured out how to beat the Midianites at their own game. And that is exactly where God met him. God met him exactly where he was. I believe God saw him being shrewd. He saw him being smart, maybe a little fearful, yes, but he saw him finding a way in the midst of circumstances where there seemed to be no way. He saw exactly where he was, and he said, "That's who I'm going to use." I see him. Don't you just see him there? Can you not just picture him there? Beating out that wheat, ticked off. And when God appeared to him, this is what he said. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." God saw warrior qualities in that wine press while he was ticked off at his circumstances. And those are the qualities that God knew that he needed in order to overcome this great coalition. He needed a warrior. He needed someone shrewd. Did Gideon in that moment see himself as that? No, he didn't. But God saw it for him. And he chose him. "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." To that, Gideon said, "My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." And this is what I am obsessed with this passage. When we talk back to the Lord, he always has an answer. When we speak out of our insecurity, the Lord comes in with multiple points to shut us down. The Lord looked straight at him. "Go, in this your strength, and deliver Israel from the hands of Midian. Have I not sent him?" But he said to him, "O Lord," verse 15, "how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as if by one man." Now, I'm sorry, I got to get my notes here in front of me. Here I am. I've been divorced, and I'm going to tie this into my story a little bit. I've been divorced. I go off to Liberty University. And, you know, I'm looking for the Lord to use me, but I see nothing in myself. And I hope that you will resonate and this story will resonate with you today. I see nothing in myself. Literally, Satan had beat all everything I thought I was good at. He had beat it out of me. You know, he was the Midianites in my story, Satan. He'd stolen all the seeds. And I remember I was sent out as the first female intern at Liberty and ministry intern. This was years and years and years ago. And I was sitting as an intern in Columbus, Ohio, and I was just praying, God, how are you going to use me? I'm sort of beating out my own wheat. I was doing my own thing. I was trying to be as shrewd as possible in this internship, learning everything that I could learn in order to reach people one day. And the Lord met me one day. And he told me he wanted me to do conference ministry. And I knew that a lot of different ministries would come that. But he, verse 13 and 14, when the Lord looked at Gideon, he looked straight at him. When Gideon came at him and he said, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? He's questioning. The Lord looked straight at him. Lord looked at him, go. In this your strength. God was direct and intentional when Gideon couldn't even see his potential. God saw his potential. He was direct. He looked straight at him. And I'm sitting there going, conference ministry. And I had this conversation with the Lord going, God, are you sure? Conference ministry? I was just divorced. Most Christian people are going to red letter me in an instant. You know, be of good cheer, you red lettered Christians. Because the Lord is looking straight at you and he's saying, my grace is bigger than their judgment. My grace is for you in this moment. He was direct and intentional with Gideon. And the second thing he tells him is go in this your own strength. He didn't say you have to be some big Bible scholar. He doesn't say you need 14 degrees from some seminary. He didn't say that. He said, go in this your strength, for I am with you. Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hands of Midian. He said, have I not sent you? Rhetorical question. Hello, I'm the angel of the Lord here. Haven't I sent you? Hello, I'm telling you, you can do it. It's funny that sometimes when God tells us stuff, we don't even believe God. And he's looking at us and he's saying, success is promised. Victory is yours. And God is staring us in the face and we look at God like God is the idiot. Wake up. There is such a huge call on your life. Go in this your own strength. All you need is what you have. You don't need what everybody else has. You need what you have, your own strength, exactly where you're at. Remember, God met him exactly where he was at, your own strength. That's what you need. You don't need your pastor's strength. You need your strength. You don't need your mama's strength. You need your strength. You don't need your kid's strength. You need your strength. Go in this, your strength. Have I not sent you? I love when he says, have I not sent you? Why are you asking me so many questions? He clarified what the call was. I'm sending you to help Israel. Have I not sent you? Verse 15 and 16 says this, surely I will be with you and you will defeat the Midianites, even if by one man. I feel like in today's world, we kind of feel like we need a tribe. And you know, tribes are great. I have an incredible, my friends are I just had a big party at my house yesterday. I feel like we feel like we need to have 1,000 people around us, and community is great. And oh my goodness, I'm the first person to preach, you know, have a great community of people around you. Have people that pray for you on a daily basis. But sometimes God is calling you out. He's not calling, you know, your tribe out. He's calling you out. And this is one of those instances in the scripture where he looks specifically at Gideon. And he said, and I think this messaging is so important to us. Surely I will be with you. He really wasn't going out on an own. Maybe physically he was going out on an own, but he was going out with the Lord. Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites, even if by one man. One man. Let that resonate in your spirit for a minute. As I was sitting there and I was sort of getting the call to do what I'm doing now, you know, all these years later, and here I see how God has divided and multiplied and done his thing amongst me saying, okay, Lord, this looks totally ridiculous. Everything is against me. But in this minute, if you're with me, that's all I need. If you are calling us to do this, if you are calling me to do this, then that's all I need. And what we don't understand is we don't need all these human bodies around us. We need the power of the mighty God to back us and to go with us. And that is when we're victorious. And that is when we start seeing miracles. And that is when we can turn and we can look and we can give the God Almighty the glory, even if by one man. Man, not you and your small group, although we love small groups. And please don't message me and say I said something negative about small groups. The point of this whole message is that God may be plucking you out to start a church, to start a ministry, to start praying for your husband, to start doing something radical for his name. And his eyes are on you, not everyone else but you. You are, yes, that special. That it would look down at you as you're beating out your wheat and you're ticked off. And why is all my circumstances against me? And say, that's who I'm going to use. There he is. There she is. Look at her qualities. I know how I've placed her and know I've put him together. I've got my eyes on him to do something. He didn't even believe. So here, surely I'll be with you, defeat it by one man. So Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, show me a sign that you will speak to me. Please don't depart from me until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until your turn. I love that God does this. God answers our weird prayers. You know, here Gideon, God is just saying, hello, mighty conqueror of Israel. And Gideon's looking at the angel of the Lord and he's saying, hey, will you hang out for like 20 minutes so I can go get my offering and come back? And God says, the angel of the Lord says, yeah, I'll do it. Go get your offering and turn back. So then Gideon went, verse 19. Prepared a young goat, unleavened bread, put meat in a basket and broth, and he brought it to the Lord under the oak. The angel of the Lord said, take the meat and unleavened bread and lay it on the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. The angel of the Lord poured out the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord vanished into sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace be you to you. Don't fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still an Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, Zechariah 4:6 says this, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I don't have time to get into it, but the first thing that God had Gideon do was to tear down all the idols in Israel. And it talks about him in this next passage, him literally wearing the Spirit of God like a cloak in order to defeat. And he was one man. He was one man. But he was wearing the Spirit of God who was the literal creation of man, around him to fuel him by his might. What is God asking of you? Are you questioning him like I did? I ended up starting my conference ministry, and here I sit today. A lot of things have happened in between. Understand that God may be looking at you and saying, hey, it's you, one man. I've got you. Go forward. And we know surely because of those 300 men that God chose along with Gideon, they did defeat the Midianites. I love you today. I hope this encourages you. Be the Gideon in our world today. Thanks for listening. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.